Hasn't even been a week. I don't know if it feels like it's been an hour or a lifetime, but obviously it's been a very exciting few days for many. After the Dobbs decision came down last Friday morning, along with the ultimate overturning of Roe v. Wade, sending the issue of abortion back to the states. Let's welcome on and say a good morning to Missouri U.S. Senator Josh Hawley joining us on KCMO Talk Radio. Senator, thanks for being here on KCMO. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just start off. Your reaction to last Friday. I know people have seen you maybe in different social media platforms and elsewhere, but as an attorney by trade and a pro-lifer as well, your reaction to what happened now just a few days ago?
Oh, it's just extraordinary. I mean, really just extraordinary, Pete, and I just couldn't be more thrilled. This is the right outcome under the Constitution. Roe was always wrong. It was wrong the day it was decided. And to see the Supreme Court say that in black and white, I think, is just huge. And, you know, there's a personal aspect to this. For me, my wife, Erin, was the counsel in this case. She, with Mississippi, was counsel to Mississippi, helped them write their briefs, craft their argument at the Supreme Court. And she's been working on this case for a solid year now. And to see this victory and have her be so intimately involved in it is just awesome.
Well, you know, you're an attorney by trade, as is your wife, as you just noted, so you know more about this than obviously I do. So I want to ask you, do you think in hindsight, the folks who pushed the challenge of the Mississippi law regret it because of what it led to with the overturning of Roe?
They might. You know, they might. I mean, Mississippi's law, let's remember, was a 15-week law. So it didn't actually ban all abortions in the state of Mississippi, just those after 15 weeks. For a variety of reasons that are set out in the briefing. But the court obviously decided rightly that there was really no way under the precedent, under Roe and under Casey, which are the two controlling cases, there's really no way to uphold that 15-week abortion limitation and also allow Roe to stand. And so they did the right thing by striking it down. And now, listen, the people get to decide. And for the first time in our lifetimes, Pete, the people of Missouri and to the people of Kansas, who I know are also in your listening area, they are going to get to decide for themselves what the laws ought to be with regard to life. And that is as it should be, because that's what the Constitution provides for.
So with that being said as well, when you look at this now, everyone's thinking, okay, it's back to being a state issue. But the other night we were out at an event, one of our Politics in a Pint events with Vicki Hartzler, who, of course, you have endorsed in the upcoming Senate race. And she noted that there could still be a federal element to this if Pelosi, Schumer, and others try to push, whether it's funding mechanisms in a roundabout way. We've heard AOC talking about, you know, using abortion clinics on federal lands. Like, what is the federal angle of this now that Missourians and Kansans should be thinking about that maybe they're not thinking about?
Well, I suspect what the Democrats will try to do is abuse federal power to try and impose abortion in backdoor ways on the states or on particular cities. And they've already talked about trying to use the military. This is an administration, by the way, that sees the military as one giant social experiment. You know, they're trying to force all of their woke policies on the military, and that includes abortion. I've heard a lot of talk from Senate Democrats about, well, now we'll mandate that abortions be performed at military hospitals on every military base in America, which, of course, would include our state. All I have to say about that is it's not going to happen. I mean, they are not going to get 60 votes for that. And this is yet another reason why we have to retake the Senate come November. Because what the Democrats are saying, let's be clear about this, what they're saying is we don't want the people to decide. They're saying to the people of Missouri, we don't trust you. We, the Washington Democrats, want to dictate to you what the rules ought to be in your state, in your cities. That's what they're saying. They want one uniform rule that they, the D.C. Democrats, get to decide and dictate. That is not democracy, Pete. That's not federalism. And it just shows you they do not trust the voters on that and on this issue, and they don't want the voters to have a say.
What do you say to the big critique that, you know, I'm sure you've seen and heard a million times by now over the last few days, and that is, well, conservatives are pro-life, but they're or pro-birth, but not pro-life is the phrase that they use. Basically saying if you're not going to fund everything that we demand that you fund through the federal government, then you can't theoretically be pro-life. But how would Josh Hawley respond to that criticism that has been running rampant over the last few days?
Well, first of all, I would say it's a red herring because none of the Democrats who are making that argument are remotely serious about it. But secondly, I think that this is a wonderful opportunity. It's an important opportunity for conservatives who are pro-family in every respect to say, you know what, we've got to refocus, redouble our efforts now on building an economy where families can support themselves with good paying jobs at good wages in this country. You know, this is all the more reason to say we've got to quit outsourcing our jobs. We've got to quit shipping them overseas. We've got to bring them back. We need to build strong communities with good jobs at good wages. I also think that we've got to do more to support pregnancy care centers, do more to support adoption and facilitate adoption. As anybody who's been involved in the adoption process in this country knows, oh, it is tough. I mean, it is a slog, and we have got to change that. So there's a lot of work I think that we can do. But we've always been conservatives, pro-family, not just pro-life, although obviously you can't be pro-family without life, but pro-family through and through. And this is another opportunity for us to stand up and show it.
As people, you know, continue to deal with the inflationary side of what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, I know, you know, the national media obsession here the last 24 hours has been more January 6th stuff. But in terms of what kitchen table issues people are dealing with today, especially going into a holiday weekend, you know, you've got July 4th around the horizon. You've got $5 gallon gasoline. You got food up 10, 20, 30% in some cases. Do we see, I mean, we know that interest rates are going up. We know there's not a lot the Senate right now can do about it per se. But where does this take us here moving forward in the conversation, Senator, as you talk about summer travel into the fall with the midterms on the horizon?
Well, you know, I just remember that statistic from AAA, Pete, saying that we could expect $6 a gallon for gasoline come August. Now, I hope that turns out to be wrong, but I mean, that is a stunning, stunning prediction. $5 is unacceptable and bad enough. I mean, people can't afford it. So I think what we're looking at is basically the total destruction of our middle class economy in this country. I mean, Joe Biden has declared war on working people in the middle class. We can't afford to pay for gas, can't afford to buy groceries. People can't afford or in some cases find even on the shelves the most basic stuff like baby formula. So this is what the Biden economy, the Biden administration, this is what it looks like. This is what he wants. And I think this is what's on the ballot come November. What can the Senate do about this? Could do a lot. You know, if we had the majority, we could reverse Biden's energy policies, which is what really is driving gas prices so high. We could reverse his terrible socialist spending policies, which is what's causing rampant inflation. But we've got to get a majority to do that. And I think all of that is going to be on the ballot come this November.
And with that being said, of course, as we noted earlier, as everyone knows, you know, the ad is running rampant. And of course, your support for Vicky Hartzler in this race is well noted at this point. With just a few weeks left, there is a push by somebody you know very well in this state. Jack Danforth is saying, OK, is it time to look at an independent candidate for U.S. Senate in Missouri? Do you have concerns that an independent candidate in a Missouri U.S. Senate race who's got big funding could end up with a Democrat representing Missouri in the U.S. Senate?
Well, I don't think we should be doing anything that would help a Democrat get elected. I mean, let me just put it that way. This seat
does that
is
do
way
it?
Too important.
Does that do it?
Well, I don't know about that, Pete. I mean, here's the deal, just to be honest with you. I mean, I've seen this story before where you have people who plot to get independent candidates in the race. There was one in my race in 2018, you might remember. In fact, there were several folks on the ballot, and none of them amounted to anything. So here's the deal. We're going to get a strong Republican candidate on August 2nd. I think that's going to be Vicky Hartzler for all the reasons you and I've talked about many times. And she's going to go on and win in November. And that's what matters. But I think people shouldn't be in any doubt that we have got to win the Missouri seat in order to win back the United States Senate. I mean, it's just that simple.
He is Josh Hawley. It is always good to have him on KCMO Talk Radio, U.S. Senator, of course, in Missouri. Last thing with the Amtrak crash in Mendon, Missouri. I know you've been keeping tabs on that. Anything of note just in the folks that you've talked to back in the state about that crash and just thoughts that you have as a senator from this state, based on the fact that several people have died and also dozens, well over 100 now, 150 are injured?
At least four fatalities. I would just say this, Pete. The first thing that really leaps out at me, actually, is just the people of Mendon. This is a community of about 300 folks, and I mean, they swung into action within literally minutes, converting their high school gymnasium into a welcome center and into a care center, helping folks, of course, get to the hospital who needed it, helping folks call relatives. I don't know if hopefully folks who are listening to you have gotten to see some of the pictures out of Mendon from the gym and other areas around town. But it's really, really extraordinary with this small town. I'm from a small town not too far from there. And, you know, I just think that that is an extraordinary testament to the people of Missouri. As to the accident itself, the NTSB is now investigating, which they should. You know, we've got a, we have some details about why the train derailed in terms of there being a dump truck, I think, are the initial reports that were that was on the tracks where it shouldn't have been. But listen, obviously, when you have something of this magnitude, this many people are hurt and we have lives lost, we've got to figure out exactly what went wrong. And we've got to make sure that this stretch of track in our state is 100% safe for everybody involved going forward. Those who are on the train, also those who live in the community nearby the train. So this is, you know, it's hard to imagine it getting worse than it was in terms of the accident. We've got to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Josh Hawley on KCMO. Senator, always great to have you here. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
You bet. That's Josh Hawley on KCMO Talk Radio.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.